When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Allo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the latest edition of the Oddity News Network. My name is Dave Wirtz, and as always, with me today is my co-host, the one, the only, I am boring, also known as PC Tunny. I kid, Tunny. You are just full of energy and life, and there is no better co-host on The Oddity than you. So I hope you know. I've just been in a funk. This is the week before school, and I have seen so many presentations in PowerPoint form. It has damaged me a little bit, okay?
You sound like my mom, who just has one son and one daughter, and will tell me I am her favorite son, right? Like, I get it.
But?
There's no but.
Oh, okay.
It's good to be back, my friend. Good to be back. Episode 9 here of The Oddity. A big week next week. Episode 10. Might have to bring some balloons, champagne.
Man, it feels like it was only episode 8.
When, today?
Yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure it's 9.
Oh, okay. No. I meant that in a humorous sort of way.
Oh, I got... Okay, well, I've never heard the one about the roof, so there we go.
As always here at the Oddity News Network, we do like to bring you the weird and unusual for your news, so let's get going right into those stories with a Kentucky man. Was jailed for 9 years after faking his death to avoid child support. Jesse Kipp, 39, of Somerset, Kentucky, was sentenced to 9 years in prison for computer fraud and aggravated identity theft after he attempted to skip out on his outstanding child support obligations. Carlton Shire, the U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Kentucky, let me just tell you right now, that is the most lawyer name I have ever heard in my life. Carlton Shire. But also said in a statement that Kipp accessed Hawaii's death registry system in January last year. And using login details from a doctor living in another part of the United States, the 39-year-old created a case for his own death and completed a worksheet for a death certificate in the Aloha State. As a result, Kipp was registered as a deceased person in several government databases. He also accessed other state registry systems and private networks using credentials stolen from real people and attempted to sell the access on the dark web. After his arrest in November, he admitted he did this in part to avoid child support. Kipp then pleaded guilty to both charges in April. And in a statement by Mr. Shire, he said, this scheme was a cynical and destructive effort based in part on the inexcusable goals of avoiding his child support obligations. This case is a stark reminder of how damaging criminals with computers can be and how critically important computer and online security is to all. Fortunately, Through the excellent work of our law enforcement partners, this case will serve as warning to other cyber criminals, and he will face the consequences of his disgraceful conduct. Bum, bum. I was waiting for you. I thought you'd have that sound effect on, like, just ready, queued up.
No, sorry. I'll have to expand my repertoire.
We'll workshop this, all right?
Yes. I mean, he's not going to be paying much child support from prison either, so.
Good. Yeah. You think you could, if you're so good at hacking all these government databases, could have used it just to get yourself whatever amount of child support you needed.
Right. Like, yeah, just hack a bank and, you know, fill your bank account up from somewhere else. But, yeah, I mean, it's the old story of if people only use their powers for good instead of evil, right?
Yeah.
How'd you like to be this kid? Like, my dad wants so much not to do with me that he faked his own death.
Well, I mean, the kid's last name is Krimpf. He's going to have to suffer enough as it is.
Like shrimp?
Yeah, it's like a krill and shrimp mixed together.
His first name, Detlef?
Detlef Krimpf? I'd like that. Let's bring back the big white guy from the 90s. Oh, wait, that's Tractor Trailer.
He was black.
Tractor? Oh.
Yeah, he died in Puerto Rico. I think that was the story.
Maybe I'm getting it mixed up with a different grizzly.
Okay. Yeah, Detlef Shrimp was the white guy with the blonde hair from the Pacers and the Sonics.
I mean, that I do know. I do know Detlef.
Okay.
In all fairness, I would have been 4.
Okay. All right. We'll just move on then. Have you ever heard of the book Leaves of Grass? Well, it was returned to a Virginia library 50 years after its due date. The librarian described it as an exciting return when a copy of Walt Whitman's Leaves of Grass found its way back to the facility after being due back 50 years earlier. The Appomattox Regional Library System said the book was returned by a patron recently, and librarians were stunned to discover how long it was overdue. Checked out in 1974, the year of our three libraries joined up to become the Appomattox Regional System, this book has returned after 50 years. The Post said there won't be any charges for the exciting return as the library system went fine-free last year. Maybe they've been holding on to it, waiting for the fine-free system, I would assume. It was unclear why the book's return, which was supposed to occur June 3rd, 1974, took so long. I mean, could you imagine, like, 50 years, right? And say, what is it, like a nickel a day they charge you or something like that? So let's say they did. 50 times 365 times 0.05. That's a $912.50 book fine. I think you might be better off just buying the book.
Yeah. I mean, there's got to be inflation involved too, right?
I suppose.
You got to take in everything to account.
I mean, if it was like a Blockbuster video, you probably would have got fined for not rewinding it too.
Oh, man, now I'm just thinking of Mos Def and Jack Black. Please be kind, rewind, people.
Great movie. If you've never seen it, check it out, audience.
Absolutely. PC, have you ever traveled out of your own time zone?
Yes.
Good. Well, we're about to get a brand new time zone as the moon aims for its own TZ as space travel aims for another human run. Here's why. Greenwich Moon Time, as NASA strides to return astronauts to the lunar surface for the first time since the early 1970s. Astronautical experts say that the orbital rock needs its own localized time zone. Now, simply because Earth clocks won't get the job done due to changes in gravity off-world. A new paper from the National Institute of Standards and Technology, also known as NIST, explains that even the most efficient terrestrial clocks, which stay in rhythm using atomic principles, would tick slightly quicker at a different rate of 56 microseconds per day on the moon, where gravity is weaker. So, That leads in a sizable number when considering the scale of forthcoming manned Artemis moon missions that will increase the, quote, number of assets on the lunar surface, an ad now published in the Astronomical Journal. Communication and navigation systems rely on a network of clocks that are synchronized to each other within a few tens of nanoseconds. Essentially, similar to how car clocks lose accurate time after a while, the same would happen to equipment on the moon's surface. So, this new proposed alternative is still under creation and recently backed by the International Astronomical Union is the development of lunar coordinate time. It would function similarly to the principle of Earthly Coordinated Universal Time, also known as UTC. Now, that original 1960 concept within a nanosecond of accuracy keeps a singular ultra-specific time by averaging atomic clock measurements globally. UTC is utilized by scientists and laboratories throughout the world, but experts are going to tweak that UTC for space exploration purposes. The lunar coordinate time, Tunny, what do you think? Is that something that you're going to be having an extra clock in your room for?
I don't know if you know this yet. This is breaking news, but the entire Chairshot Radio Network will be switching over to lunar time once this happens.
Oh, yeah. Oh, but still not the metrics, or still not the metric system, right? We're gonna leave that off.
Liters, centimeters, right? That stuff. Yeah, no. Yeah, let's stick to bushels and pecs, okay?
Oh, good. And 2 bits.
Yes, indeed.
But yeah, it looks like the Loon is going to have its own time zone sooner rather than later.
Yeah, that guy, he's always late. He's like on fucking moon time. It just seems to me like they could digitally keep track of it, like just sending the signal from Earth to space with satellites. But who am I? What do I know besides how to have a good time right here on the Oddity? And speaking of people having a good time, did you know that hundreds cruised Philadelphia streets in the 15th annual Philly Naked Bike Ride? The annual ride, which started in 2009, is billed as promoting cycling as a key form of transportation and fuel-conscious consumption. It also meant to encourage body positivity. Organizers stress, however, that participants aren't required to ride completely in the buff, telling them to get as bare as you dare. Organizers said the ride wasn't only limited to bicycles, but welcomed all forms of human-powered transportation, such as rollerblades or skates, skateboards, and scooters. They also point to a code of conduct that bars any kind of physical or sexual harassment. The course changes each year, but generally highlights city landmarks. This year, riders assembled in the city's large Fairmount Park, some getting themselves adorned with body paint before starting a 12-mile route down the Benjamin Franklin Parkway. Past historic City Hall, to Tony Rittenhouse Square, and then into South Philadelphia before heading back north around the U.S. Mint and ending in a West Philadelphia park. That's where the Fresh Prince was born and raised, just so you know, near Drexel University. The ride used to be held in September, often in temperatures around 70 degrees, but enough of the naked riders mentioned feeling chilly that it was moved to August several years ago. The 2020 ride was called off because of the pandemic. Would you like to bike in the nude, Dave?
I have actually participated in this and the Milwaukee rendition.
Oh.
Thank you very much.
How nude did you get, sir?
I wore a wonderful banana hammock for the occasion.
Well, I'm proud of you, buddy. Way to get yourself out there to support our local non-motorized transportation systems.
All right. Well, this is a perfect opportunity for us to kick it over to our sponsors. PC, you can take it away.
Thank you, sir. You're listening to thechairshot.com right here. We remind you to always use your head and head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Plenty of great designs. You can get it in a tank top, a t-shirt, long sleeves, or a hoodie. That's prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. And you already know you're listening to Chairshot Radio Network. You can find it on thechairshot.com and all of your favorite streaming platforms.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
All right, we're back to the Oddity News, and we're going to kick it off with a North Carolina feud in a sign war between eateries. A sassy exchange of words on the signs outside of two North Carolina restaurants has now become a full-blown, quote, sign war with dozens of businesses chiming in. The tongue-in-cheek tussle began when Ione's Grill and Bar in Moorhead City left a message reading, "Happy birthday, Jeff," on its marquee for nearly a month. Neighboring eatery Dank Burrito fired off the opening salvo by making its sign read, "Ione's, quit being lazy, change your sign." Ione's owner Sam Turnage fired back, changing the sign to, "Dank, we are not lazy, just busier than you." Dank Burrito, not to be outdone, responded back with, "Y'all just look busy because it takes 2 hours for a dollar taco." "I've seen ton of people stop and take pictures of the signs," Dank Burrito owner Clark Merrill told WCTI-TV. More neighboring businesses then began to join the fray as Prime Bistro changed its sign to read, "Boys, do we need to have a meet-ing?" Meat, spelled M-E-A-T. A sign at EJW Outdoors expressed a similar sentiment, quote, "Guys, do we need to taco about it?" "I think there's over 70 businesses that have now chimed in since," Merrill said. Local residents have been keeping track of the so-called sign war on a Facebook group. Merrill said he does not know how long the marquee melee will continue. "I have no idea, man. It's interesting. Like, I thought it would fizzle out today, and people are still posting and gaining traction. Who knows?" Turnage said he has no intention of surrendering. Turnage also followed that up with, "I'm going to keep it going as long as he can." There is quite the food wars going on, Tunney, and I feel offended that we weren't asked to be there and support with more food-based puns.
Some may even call it a food fight.
There it is!
You have to imagine that these two guys behind the scenes are like, man, this is really drumming up some notoriety in business. Let's just keep rolling.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. They're clearly calling each other each night and right. Both telling them how good it is and also saying you're beautiful to the other one.
Yeah. Like, what could have started as, you know, an actual rivalry has now turned into a money-making kind of, you know, extravaganza here.
Yeah, with the other businesses, being, you know, like Gordy's Funeral Home, just be like, hey, can we post two here, please?
We're dying to try your food.
Seriously, nobody wants to hear this go any longer.
Well, let's go from a food fight to a hunger strike, huh? An Indian teenager was accused of emotional blackmail after going on hunger strike for 3 days to pressure his poor mother into buying him an iPhone. A short video shot by a smartphone shop owner in India went viral last week for featuring a teenage boy who confessed to going on a hunger strike for 3 days to convince his mother to buy him a new iPhone. The woman, who reportedly makes a living by selling flowers outside a temple, is also featured in the video and has a facial expression that pretty much says everything about her inner struggle. Shared by Indian journalist Abhishek on X, the video has been viewed over 1 million times and has sparked a heated debate about gadgets as a status symbol and in the entitlement of younger generations. I don't know that, I don't think I've ever even gone a day without eating.
Yeah, I would fail miserably at a hunger strike.
I know why. You don't have to say
me?
It. You don't have to say it if you don't want to, but I understand why you would.
Because I'm fat.
Oh, it doesn't. Okay. I was thinking it.
Oh, you're trying to say I'm diabetic.
Yes.
Oh, I mean that too.
That too.
But I'm also just fat. I would be eating. I'd be eating way too much. But this is me. Just me.
We both already have an iPhone, though.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask New People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
God, I hate you sometimes. All right. Well, why not keep the food theme going here, Tunny? I have drummed up an article by Danny Zoller of thetakeout.com as we have some brand new Lay's flavors of their international chip line. And I thought we would take the review of these chips. Now, I have also tasted these chips myself. We do have a lovely little food group at Comedy Sports called the Concierge. So we do try these things. But I wanted to kind of relay this through someone that is far more eloquent than I am. Okay, so
are we having a guest?
By Danny Zoller.
Are you bringing in a guest to run this by?
No.
Oh,
no.
It's me? Oh boy.
Yeah. Lay's newest line of chips fall right into my wheelhouse, making me eager to see how these three flavors stack up, since, admittedly, I'm a big fan of all things potato chips. But let me back up a bit. In the summer of 2016, they did something of a short European tour with my husband. On our way to Copenhagen, we missed our connection and ended up spending the night in Toronto with nothing more than toothbrushes and a bunch of other complimentary overnight stuff. It's a memory. While there, I watched some morning television and happened to catch a segment about ketchup chips. At the time, I have never heard of such a chip through my many Canadians. It's nearly a pantry staple. And I've become somewhat obsessed with international chips ever since. Living near Walt Disney World and having so many different types of treats at my fingertips, my love for snacks from around the world certainly gets its fill. No need to pack your bags, however. Just look for the newest Lay's to grace the chip aisle at your local grocery store. Here's how I let the chips fall. First up, at the lowest end, is the Korean Honey Butter Lay's. Of the three new chips from Lay's, the honey butter, inspired by a popular flavor from Korea, was the least heavily flavored of the trio. I noticed the subtle sweetness from butter, but the honey definitely wasn't as strong as some honey butters I've made or sampled at restaurants. The honey butter chip reminded me quite a bit more of a standard Lay's potato chip than I expected. Even still, there was more of a moist crunch when it came into biting into the chip. As the name implies, it felt like there was a coating on the chip of, well, butter. Rather than a super crisp crunch, it lost some of that bite. I noticed that loss of crunch because I mentally compared it to a typical Lay's chip crunch, the kind you always need to have a napkin nearby to help move along any crumbs. However, if the crunchiness factor isn't as important to you, this difference won't be significant enough to even notice. Although Lay's honey butter chips have a nice taste, the sweetness to it wasn't my favorite. But I found the other two flavors far more up my alley. Now, I agree. I do think that the honey butter was very mild, Tunny. And I will tell you right now, I agree with Danny Zoller on this, that it just felt like a more zhuzhed basic potato chip.
So, like, there wasn't really crunch there. It was kind of soft.
It had, like, you know, like when you have potato chips, right? There are like potato chips that like sometimes get caught in like a warmed area, and it has a crunch, but it's not particularly like it doesn't break. It kind of like bends. Sure. and rips. That's kind of how it's like a slightly more than that.
I'll just say, yeah, I would agree. I like a crisper chip.
Next is the Tzatziki Wavy Chip. Let me admit something. I enjoy gyros, not for the gyro meat itself, but for the combination of the pita and tzatziki sauce. I've been known on more than one occasion to use tzatziki sauce as a dip rather than a compliment, and condiment, and I'm absolutely obsessed with this stuff. So when I saw tzatziki was among the flavored offerings in this global collection, I was like, yes! And I was certain this would become a mainstay snack in my home. And I was right. After crunching into only a few chips, I could hear my taste buds thanking me out loud. My eyes might have even rolled into the back of my head just a little bit. Lay's reports that the tzatziki has a yogurt base to it with lemon, dill, and garlic present in the tzatziki as well. Although I definitely got the authentic tzatziki taste I was hoping for, I didn't feel like it had a yogurt base. On the other hand, I found the dill to be very strong here, and in many ways, it felt like eating a dry pita chip that had a slathering of homemade tzatziki sauce on it. Yum! While I enjoy Lay's with dips more often than not, this one doesn't need any extra flavor as it handles that completely on its own. Okay, I'm going to tell you right now, I would eat the honey butter before I ate the tzatziki sauce again. Now, I am not a tzatziki fan. I think that yogurt and lemon with the is just weird. But that's me. I can understand that is a flavor thing and not a, rather an opinion thing, not a overall quality thing.
So you would probably come away saying, what's the deal with these tzatziki chips?
Yes. Yes, I would.
I'm kind of like in the middle there. Like I like it, but I don't need it to like dip my vegetables in like for a veggie tray. So I'd be interested to try that one.
I'm also too, like, I don't like tzatziki on my gyros because it's so heavy, and gyros themselves are also just like a heavy dish in its own right. But again, I think it's a me thing, not the Lay's quality. Last but not least, of the three new Lay's chips, the India's masala was the most heavily flavored. As soon as I tasted the chip, it immediately reminded me of the Fritos chili cheese corn chips I loved as a kid. But the masala chip quickly shifted to something spicier. Chili cheese felt like an interesting place to begin a masala flavoring, and considering this is meant to be a spicy offering, it also makes a whole lot of sense. Unless you are a lover of all things very spicy, you'll definitely want to approach these chips with a glass of water. While I wouldn't pair a dip with a tzatziki chip, the masala chip lends itself to something of a creamy dip to help cut through that spiciness. When comparing masala to honey butter, I noticed an interesting duality of flavors. Honey butter is incredibly light, but masala is on the opposite side of that spectrum. Between the three globally inspired flavors, there was a little something here for chip fans of any flavor persuasion. It's like some kind of Goldilocks range of offerings, with one just right for everyone. Okay, this is where I'm going to differ. I'm going to tell you right now, the masala chip is wonderful. It's so beautiful. And I do not understand the chili cheese comparison, I also don't think it's that spicy. You don't need to have a glass of water next to you. I think that might be the whitest thing I've ever read from someone. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you, Cunny. Okay? But the masala chips are delicious, and I cannot recommend them more.
Out of the three, it's the one I would most want to try. And I do like spicy as well, so that wouldn't be a problem for me either. But, yeah, some interesting takes. I mean, to be honest with you, though, you're like, in the United States, you're kind of connecting with different cultures of people with potato chips, right? Who may not just go ahead and want the greasy, plain, you know, potato chip, but they see a flavoring from their culture, they might be like, well, this is something I really want to try. And on the other hand, it could completely backfire considering they are used to the authentic flavors that come from this, which could be a little bit off on a potato chip. So, like the idea, definitely would try all three.
And I'm going to throw one more out there that is not in this review, but needs to be tasted. Ruffles came out with a KFC original recipe chip that is to die for. So again, you're talking to a man here that has just straight up said is fat. I will eat any bag that is placed in front of me of the KFC original recipe without any shame whatsoever. It's so damn good. Get yourself the KFC original recipe and get yourself the masala of the Lay's international flavors.
I think my favorite's jalapeno crunchers.
Okay. I like the jalapeno Cheetos myself.
Ooh, there you go. All right. I got one more for you. Swansea postcard dating back 121 years finally arrives. I don't know what this says about their post office, but I'll continue to read. When staff at a building society in Swansea received their mail on Friday, they were surprised by what they discovered. In among their usual savings and mortgage-related deliveries was a postcard dating back more than 120 years. Swansea Building Society celebrated its 100th anniversary last year, but the car predates its establishment by another couple of decades. Henry Darby, the Society's marketing and communications officer, told Sky News the unexpected arrival was exciting. It's a little bit spooky. I'm not a huge fan of touching it because it feels like an antique. It feels like it needs to be in Perspex or something, which is probably like their, you know, Smithsonian or something. But there's lots of great stories on our socials, lots of comments we're getting, and people clearly really passionate about the city and what it once was and what stories there are to be unlocked. The message on the card reads, "Dear L, it was not possible to get the pair of these. I am so sorry, but I hope you're enjoying yourself at home. I have got now about 10 shillings as pocket money, not including the train fare, so I am doing all right. Remember me to Miss Gilbert and John. With love to all from Ewart." Among those who have contacted the Building Society is a relative believed to be the great niece of Miss Lydia Davies, the postcard's intended recipient. We haven't got to the bottom of how it ended up back in circulation of the Royal Mail and how it came to us with a stamp that is best part of 125 years old. It's got King Edward, it says kind here. It's got King Edward the VII on it, Miss Darby added. So we're still intrigued by how it's gone back into the system. We guess that maybe someone was doing a house clearance. Guess it was maybe still a house and thought the owner may like it as a keepsake. It's come back into our ownership and we want to make sure it gets to the right place, be it the local archive, or if possibly Lydia's surviving family. The postmark is marked AU2303, which would likely relate it to the date August 23rd, 1903. A little bit of history.
Dang. All right, well, it's nothing like good old Kind Edwards. I mean, King Edward.
Yeah, kind. I don't know how kind King Edward the VII was.
He better have been kind. Otherwise, we're going to slander him all over these airwaves.
Well, I think the Royal Mail needs a little improvement over there.
Well, Tony, unfortunately, we're going to continue the food theme this week from me. because apparently that's all that happened this week is all food-based stories. As Chick-fil-A is launching a new product. Yes, the fast food chain is reportedly cooking up its own content and taking their chicken to the small screen, moving to the entertainment space with their own streaming service. Deadline reported that the chicken restaurant plans to launch a slate of family-friendly original content, potentially including scripted shows, animation, and unscripted content. And they have already have plans for a, quote, family-friendly game show. According to the outlet, the game show, which is from the same company behind NBC's The Wall, has already been handed a 10-episode order. That pun right there. Chick-fil-A is believed to have a budget of $400,000 per half hour for the unscripted shows. It's unclear what the shows will be about or what they will cover. The company is reportedly working with major production companies and is also in talks to license and acquire content. Brian Gibson, who has worked on The X Factor and Top Gear, is leading the programming. Axios uncovered a Chick-fil-A job posting for entertainment producer from late last year that shares some brief information about the company's plans. Quote, we are looking to produce original entertainment not necessarily about Chick-fil-A products or the Chick-fil-A brand, the listing said, which Axios viewed with the Internet Archive Wayback Machine. This original programming is intended for Chick-fil-A's soon-to-be-launched Play Entertainment app and may include scripted podcasts and audio adventures, original animation, reality and game shows, and other live-action scripted or non-scripted programming. All right, Tunny, you gonna subscribe to the Chick-fil-A app?
My question is, can you watch and consume all this on Sundays?
Oh, that's a great freaking question. That would be hilarious if they just shut it down on Sundays. I have not had Chick-fil-A since maybe the first month that the first one opened here in the state. I'm not a Chick-fil-A fan, and that is strictly from the flavor standpoint. There are other practices aside. I will tell you right now, I don't find Chick-fil-A desirable whatsoever. But I did find it extremely funny, the fact that they are going to be opening up, launching their new streaming service.
It's funny because over by Southridge, there's Chick-fil-A, and Raising Cane's just opened up across the street, basically. So,
and I'll tell you right now, I've had Raising Cane's before in other states. Raising Cane's will get my business. Absolutely.
The only other thing I've heard in the past is someone with a cheeky idea to have a chicken food truck and only have it open on Sundays in the Chick-fil-A parking lot and call it Side Chick.
I also would support that too. Definitely. Hopefully it's got like that Southern batter too, or right? all right, Tony, I have one more story for you. Oh, a man in Taiwan filed for divorce from his wife after she demanded he pay for sex on accounts of him being overweight and bad in bed. The unlikely incel, surnamed Hao, had married his wife Shun in 2014 and had two children, according to the South China Morning Post. However, problems began 3 years after his soulmate restricted sex to once a month. 2 years later, in 2019, Shun refused to have any sex with Hao at all and reportedly told his relatives that he was, quote, too fat and incompetent. Frustrated over the forced abstinence, her pent-up paramour filed for divorce in 2021 but walked back the lawsuit after she promised to work on their relationship. Hao even registered their home in their name. But it has since been reverted and reportedly charging him $15 whenever he wanted to make love or even talk. Yes, the sex tax proved to be the tipping point. Howe wound up filing for divorce for a second time this year, which the judge granted on the grounds that their marriage was, quote, cold and difficult to fix. So we have tied everything together today there, Tunney.
little pay for play there, huh?
It sounds, you know, last week we talked about the marriage counseling and how that poorly went. I'm going to say that this still falls under the same visage of just, you know what, if you feel like you need $15, you're just better off not doing it. I don't have any sort of exact number in terms of $15 increments, but I'll tell you right now, one is too many.
Yeah, I think it was time for them to move on.
Well, on behalf of the Oddity News Network, if you are ever interested in sending in some of your crazy stories, please do that. Tunney and I would love to read them. And if you have any ideas in terms of news, we'll do that as well. I came up with this this Lay's flavor after trying all three chips this past weekend. I'm sure stuff like that has happened for you. And we would love to hear your opinions. And as always, this is the Oddity News Network. For PC Tunney, I am Dave Wirtz. Keep the news weird, folks.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us.
Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AskMePeople, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.